Well, Dottie had a great start to the book because she had a lot of people sending in their stories. And I had the idea of actually going to the people and interviewing them because I've done documentaries before. And I knew the power of the interview. You could get maybe a lot more out of them than what they would just send us. And it worked out really well. And we, together, we were able to find all these people, whether they were pro players or your amateur players, your tournament players. We have so many different, such a diverse collection of women in the book. I think we got deep into their stories and got some amazing, amazing feedback from them.
Hello, welcome to the future of pickleball. We're being shot on Selkirk TV. I'm your host, Paul Olson. We've got a couple of guests today in Jody Belcher and Dottie Berry. We're going to have a very, very interesting conversation about a book that they've written and what they do in pickleball. Jody, Dottie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Great to be here.
You know, as we get into this conversation, one of the things that I really like to ask my viewership, take the opportunity to like and subscribe to this show. That really helps us get the show shown to more and more people. Take the opportunity to give us a comment after we get done with this, or if you have thoughts or ideas either on this show or things you would like to see. That being said, let's get started with Dottie first. Dottie, you come from a coaching background. You were at the University of Kentucky in women's basketball. You're an ambassador for the USAP, and your coaching certificates from IPTPA and PPR. You've been pretty deep in the sport of pickleball for a while, haven't you?
You know, I have, Paul. I think it goes back to when I was 15 years old and I realized I was born to coach. So I just ride a different vehicle now, and that's called pickleball, and I'm loving it. I have just the time of my life. I'm sitting right now in Ghana, where I'm coaching three members from the national team. And others as well. But what fun. I just spent 3.5 weeks in South Africa. So bring it on.
Very nice. And Jody, I know you've got an extensive background as an athlete, that you've done triathlons, you're a half marathoner, you've coached high school tennis, and you have a very interesting piece in your background that I want to get in later in the show, and that's you have a master's in addictive disorders. I want to talk about that later in the interview. But tell me about your adventure in pickleball.
Well, we played tennis for many, many years. I come from a tennis family. My family was all tennis. All three of my children were tennis champions. And when we gave up tennis about a decade ago, we said, that's it for racket sports. We're going to play sand volleyball and we're going to golf and that's it. And then a friend said, no, no, you have to try this new sport called pickleball. And I said, no way. And I resisted, and she kept on us. And eventually we acquiesced, and the rest is history. We became addicted like everybody else. Speaking of addiction, it's certainly become one for us. It's a major focus in our lives.
You know, the interesting thing is I have met you two women, and I met Dottie first, and then more recently I've met Jody. But as I came to find out about the book that you guys have written, which is called, let's see if I can get it here, Empower. And it is inspirational stories about women in pickleball and their stories. Guide me a little bit as to how did, with your both extensive backgrounds in sports and athletics, and how did you get involved with deciding to write this book?
Well, it's kind of interesting on my part. I was about 6 months into doing it. And the truth is, I would much rather collaborate than work alone. That's just my nature. So a friend introduced us and said, you really ought to talk to Jody. So I meet Jody. I fall in love with Jody. She's so cool. And I was like, would you like to collaborate with me on this? Because I'm finding all these stories where women are building confidence and they're recovering from challenges and they're finding a sense of purpose. What do you think, Jody? And good for me for asking Jody Belsher, because she said yes. And sometimes you bring different skills to a project. So I think that's what Jody and I did, and it's been delightful to work with her.
Jody, as we think about this and going into a collaboration in the book thing, I'm the proud owner of most of the books that have ever been written about pickleball, and I take great pride in having my signed editions from the authors because I get a chance to meet these people. But Jody, when you came into the idea of working with Jody on this, what was your thought or idea on what you wanted the book Empower to be?
Well, Dottie had a great start to the book because she had a lot of people sending in their stories. And I had the idea of actually going to the people and interviewing them, because I've done documentaries before and I knew the power of the interview. You could get maybe a lot more out of them than what they would just send us. And it worked out really well. And we were able to find all these people, whether they were pro players or your amateur players, your tournament players. We have such a diverse collection of women in the book. And I think we got deep into their stories and got some amazing, amazing feedback from them.
You know, Dottie, as we think about this, and I've now read the book and really enjoyed it, and the stories are very inspirational. I mean, it's really... It's powerful to read how our sport has actually affected people in a very, very personal way. But specifically, Dottie, how have you found pickleball to serve women specifically in their life and challenges and those kind of things?
I think one of the things, Paul, is that many women who are over 50 had never played a sport before. So when they came to the sport of pickleball, at first they thought, I'm not good at sports. And then they started playing and they found out, I'm not only good at sports, I'm really good and I am an athlete. They became empowered. And then what's happened, Paul, I think, and it's why I say that it was invented by men, perfected by women. Get this statistic. 40% of the people who play pickleball are women, but 70 to 80% of the women are the one who make the purchasing power decisions. That is unique and that is specific. So 40% does 70 to 80% of the purchasing in sports. And this is not just pickleball, this is sports overall. So we are really impacting the sport. You talk about the future of pickleball. That's why I said, Paul, we've got something about the pickleball world, the future, and it's not just about our book. Our book is amazing because women are transforming their lives. They're connecting, they're engaging, they're electrifying. I'll give you one quick story. I went to one friend's house and her husband said, honestly, I don't really recognize my wife. I've never seen her like this, so empowered. And he said, I was a little bit threatened at first. And her name is Kate Van Gent. She's down in the Seattle area. He said, but then she brought me along with her. See, that's what women do so well. That's what we've done all our lives, whether it's in church work or community work. When we get power, we go, let's pull you up with us. So her husband was delighted, started playing, loved supporting her. But I think that's so cool that he recognized that she was doing something really special.
Oh, very fun. You know, Jody, as I think of how I've seen the sport of pickleball grow, and actually going back to my origins, we were in an indoor volleyball club that let us use the courts for pickleball. But I was very intrigued and drawn to bringing women athletes into the game because I found they added an element. Men can have a tendency to be a little Neanderthalish and get into, they're all reliving their youth. And there was an element that came in. How do you see women playing into the overall matrix of what is pickleball?
Well, I think it's given opportunity to women, particularly as we age. Everybody I hear says, they're so excited I'm turning 40 or I'm turning 50. I get to play in the next bracket, you know. it's afforded opportunities where maybe some people are done with their careers or, you know, want to incorporate something more into their lives or have more social outlets. It's just there's a low barrier to entry with pickleball. Everybody can enter. It's low cost. unless you get into some of the expensive paddles, rackets. And I think that it just provides an opportunity where there wasn't really one before. And it's true for men as well, but particularly for women who may have been stay at home or had ended a career and what's next. So here's this wonderful social, physical, you get outside or even indoors now, a lot of indoor places to play, but you connect in a way that we couldn't connect before. I mean, everybody in my address book has a PB next to their name. So it's not the point where, you know, shouldn't even add that anymore because everyone I know is from PB. So, yeah, I think it's opened up a lot of opportunity for women and also for them to find their voice, to find entrepreneurship. I mean, we are finding so many women are discovering clothing lines, even paddles and bags and ideas, doing programming. So there's so many opportunities that I don't think really existed before.
And I think that's very true. You know, Dottie, one of the things that I look forward to in having this interview, and I've thought of this, but I've never asked you the question, having the extensive D1 elite coaching level in basketball, you've got to be able to look down the line as to the girls, the young women that have to come up through the ranks of sports. How do you see young women being affected by pickleball in the future?
Oh, my gosh. I think the youth is really where it's at for creating the foundation. I always talk in pickleball. I say when I start coaching, I'm building a foundation. And the youth are the foundation. Well, it's a great intergenerational sport, and we have great grandmothers playing with, you know, their young grandsons and granddaughters, great granddaughters. That's super. But the youth is what is going to lay that foundation for the future. And when they're coming in, they need different tools. I'm even finding this with women that are older. They go, okay, now that I'm doing this, I need other tools like on the mental game. That's how I, you know, really, I mean, that's my passion is working on that mental edge, that secret sauce that separates people. So I think as the youth come in, they understand that that's a necessary component, that they can't just rely on the mental. On the physical. At some point, everybody's got the physical skills. So what is going to separate them out from their counterparts as they're coming along? And it's right up here. It's how they handle those challenges as they step onto the court. I tell people, look, if you think that's not true, play rec play all you want and go play a tournament. Watch your game go out the door. Now, it's not that you've suddenly forgotten how to play, but the nerves come in if you don't know how to work on that. And so coming from a high level of working with athletes, we concentrate on that all the time. And we concentrate on things like if you want to get past a 4-0 level, then you've got to start putting 70 to 80% of your time drilling. And I'm not just talking about drilling on the court, the physical. You have to drill mental. See, a lot of people are used to doing this in the gym. They're not used to doing this in the gym with the mental reps daily. That's got to be an integrated approach from, you know, the moment they start coming through those junior ranks. Yet, I don't want it to be like tennis. And I'm not, you know, bad-mouthing tennis, but we have so many tennis players who have come into this sport who say, I got burnout. I don't want to do that to people. One of the real draws of pickleball is that everybody says, it was so much fun and I brought the joy. So what I find in my mental work, in my clients, is they get to about 3-5, 4-0, and they come to me saying, I've lost my joy. I think I'm going to quit. And what they've done is they've gotten attached to a very specific outcome. And when they do that, they get disappointed, they get angry. I said, if you can just play the sport, embrace making mistakes, unattached to a specific outcome, you can retain your joy. That's what people love about pickleball, that connection, that joy. I mean, honestly, pickleball is like a side benefit, this great sport. So that's my take on it.
I think that's great. You know, Jody, we had talked in the intro about you having this, to me, unique background in addictive disorders and a master's degree in that. And I've seen in your chapter in the book where you talk a little bit, would you describe a little bit about how you've actually seen pickleball factor into your thinking as a clinician as to how our sport might have some unique characteristics?
Yeah, well, particularly with addiction, and we talked about earlier that pickleball is sort of an addiction for a lot of people, but a healthy one. And I think that it's provided for a lot of people who are battling addiction an outlet, a resource, because a lot of those, the work that we do in that field involves community and being in community and being accountable and people noticing you and checking in on you. And so pickleball really provides that community. And I've seen a lot of people in the addiction kind of community find their people and find groups and support. So in some ways, it's like going to a meeting. And
it really
provides a place to go. And at the same time, again, you're getting the fresh air and you're getting exercise and you're moving. And part of the problem with addiction is isolating. A lot of times people will isolate. Pickleball, kind of anytime you want, you could pretty much go out to the courts and find somebody, even if you go out to watch or just be a part of it or jump in a few games, you can prevent yourself from that isolation. So it's a part of belonging and community that really helps in that field. So it's been phenomenal.
Very nice. This is actually the way the interview is going is just exactly what I'd hoped for. We're really sort of setting the stage for what I think is the discussion that I want to have with you guys. And that is, you guys have been very, very involved and focused on specifically pickleball, but women in pickleball, and they benefit and the kind of programs and events and things that you guys have done. I have a couple questions for two ladies that are deep in the sport of pickleball. Dottie, you're dead right on the money. We've got 40% of our pickleball players are women. They happen to control the purses in a lot of families, so they affect that. Why don't we have 51%, which is the women's population in America? What do we have to do to gain the rest of the ladies that should be the equal proportion of what the population is?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. Yeah, I do too. I think one of the things is the more the word spreads that this is a sport you can do, even if you've never played a sport, then they will start coming. And one of the things I noticed in our book, Jody, I think you'll agree with this, is that some of the women had to really overcome some barriers to come back. Because as much as we think, oh, pickleball is so welcoming, some of these ladies were not welcomed. And they felt like, oh my gosh, should I go back? But that shows the perseverance and the resilience and the commitment that these ladies had who had never played a sport, but they had this desire because those few times that they played, they were like, I don't care. I'm not giving up. I'm going back to those courts. Even if those guys talked bad about me, wouldn't let me play. But here's a great story. If you'll notice recently, Lee and Anna Lee played a tournament again together. And one of the most profound things that I think Lee shared afterwards is that since she hadn't played in 2 years and she was basically drilling all the time. Now she said, albeit it's with the number one player in the world, my daughter, and with Christian Alshon. She said, I decided I just got to get the feel for the game again. So she said, I played with my dad's group. He's in his 70s now. And she went and played with a 3-0 group. Do you know how many times we hear people say, oh, I'm trying to level up. I can't play with those people. The point Lee made was, you play with people who are as good as you. You play with people who are better than you. You ask them, would you give me some of your time at the end and let me play with you? And you play with people that are a level down from you because that's how you get your rhythm back. And that's what she was looking for. And that's how you get, you know, the different kind of shots where you want to make mistakes. So when women find out, through women helping women and men helping women, and they're doing a great job of it in many cases, then women are going to come back and more of them. But it's almost like we have to deliberately reach out. It's sort of like with racism, to be quite honest. You know, if we don't know somebody from another culture, another skin color, whatever it is, and we've had privilege in some ways in our life, we have to deliberately reach out. And I think that's what we have to do with women in order to get them to that 51%. So if you're a man listening or you're a woman listening, do that. And the most powerful thing I've heard men say about our book, oh my gosh, did I learn a lot about women. I coach women. I thought I understood women. And so now they're referring our book to their men friends. So this book, although it's women's stories, it's not just for women. That's the great part of it. It's for young people, older people. Whoever is out there interested in pickleball can pick it up and learn something, because it's about connection. That, like Jody said, that's what pickleball is about.
I want to tell you guys about one of the best additions I've got to my game. And it's not another paddle. It's not another shirt. It's my Selkirk Tour Bag. Selkirk bags are designed with tremendous intent. They're to help you organize, to keep things that you need with you where you can get at them whenever you want them. The beauty of the Selkirk bags is they're designed by a company that really thinks first, last, and always about pickleball. They've created a series of bags at all kinds of price points that are tremendously well designed, and frankly, they look really good. Look at the Selkirk bags, not only for what you do courtside. I use my tour bag as my travel bag when I'm going around the country. Selkirk will help you have the best experience you can have. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. You can find all the bags on Selkirk.com's website. You know, and Jody, having recently had the opportunity to play pickleball with you and realize what your skill set is, pretty admirable. Guide me a little bit. Both of you women are high-level, high-quality athletic players. How do you go about encouraging and inviting neophytes? So one of the things that I personally am really driven by is the unification of pickleball from a sports standpoint, but also the idea of everything that's made pickleball special and unique. And a guy that came from a lifetime, not only in sports, but in the sporting goods industry, we have this unique demographic that can allow 100% of the population to be participating in our sport. And I look at that 10% we're talking about of women who aren't matching up to the demographic the same way we are with kids coming into the sport. As we can make that happen, that is absolute magic in the sport. Any thoughts or ideas on what you, somebody that's listening to this anywhere in the country or maybe even anywhere in the world, how would you encourage them to steer the community towards women in pickleball?
Well, I think what's happening is that a lot of people are inviting others in. I know I invite maybe 5 people a week and suggest to them, hey, you know, you might want to try this. I know one of the women in our book, Darla Christensen, she resisted at first. Her neighbor is a pickleball pro and he invited her to play and she said, no, thank you. And ran into her at the grocery store. And then he said, come on, just give it a try. And she said, well, okay. It's become her life, you know, and it's really become so important in her life. So I think it's incumbent upon us who are in the sport and getting all of the goodness out of it to go ahead and reach out, you know, maybe to a certain amount of people each day or wherever we are to make it part of being, I know Dottie's an ambassador. As an ambassador, that's what you do. You reach out and you invite. I have a friend back in Chicago who works all the time and I keep saying, just get to the park and just go play for an hour. Oh, I don't have that kind of time. And I work her all the time because I know if she could just make that connection and just get that 1 hour out there and see what else there can be besides just working all the time. So that I think is incumbent upon us to do that. Those of us who are fortunate enough to be in these positions and be able to play. I just recently got my certification with PCI through Selkirk. And I'm really excited about it because I've developed a program called Intentional Pickleball, and it's about having intention on the court and developing like Dottie does with your superpowers and finding out who you are, finding your game and developing that, not the way it's supposed to be played necessarily, but take what you have, who you are, and develop that. And I think that speaks to a lot of people when I work with them because they say, oh, I'm supposed to run to the line and do this. Well, maybe that's not your strength. Maybe you're 4 feet tall and you're going to get lobbed if you do that, right? So understanding who you are, your skills, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and then developing your game. So really unique to you even as universal as this sport is. And that's really my whole goal with intentional pickleball.
Well, and I'll tell you, you guys, there's a couple of things. When you bring up the term intentional pickleball, and Dottie has mentioned a couple of words, one of the things that I really am intrigued by is we need more women teaching professionals in the sport. Because so often, I've been in the game a long time, and almost without exception, you know, there's been the guy that runs the pickleball and sort of sets the tone. And the things that you're describing, good coaching is always not about meeting the standard. Good coaching is, how do you tailor your players' capabilities to the standard? How do you help yes. them evolve as an individual? And my belief is that a lot of that has to happen from women taking that lead on the coaching and instructional standpoint. And I would imagine that's the most comfortable environment for a gal that might have some hesitancy or might not have a strong athletic background, going, oh my God, you know, I relate to my coach. I understand her. She understands me. Does that make sense to you guys?
100%.
Yeah,
yes.
It really does. But I think what's so important, Paul, is I just want to give a plug out to Hellespar, who's a great Selkirk, she loves Selkirk. And the main coaching that I have done that's helped me more than anything and has helped me coach is her dynamite doubles. That's what I'm over in South Africa and Ghana teaching, because it gives a strategy. What I have discovered is that was my number one question after 5 minutes of playing, and nobody could even give me any answer about strategy. And that's my coaching mind. So I was just searching. And during the pandemic, I had the pickleball mind shift, and I asked Dane Gingrich to co-host with me. Again, I started it up, got it all set up, and then I interviewed Dane, and I was like, oh my gosh, I would rather collaborate. You want to co-host with me? He said yes. And so, you know, I just think that when I had Hella on that and people responded to her, I'm telling you, it was 2-1 off the chart more than anybody else. They thought she was fabulous. So I brought her into my area and I was like, Hella, you're the first person I've seen that really is teaching this strategy, teach me. And I told her, and this is part of what I say on the book, is every woman, and this is every man too, is capable of creating a legacy. You're capable of creating your mark in life. Paul, you're doing it. So I said to Hella, look, Hella, the truth is we can't avoid it. We're all going to die. But your information cannot be lost with you. So you've got to create this legacy and train trainers, coaches like me. So I was proud to be in the first 6 people that she ever trained. So I think that's really important. And when I have this skill, I don't have to wait for people. My Pickleball Unite said, guess what? I want to introduce the sport of pickleball to Bhutan. They didn't have a single court in there. We built 3 courts, one at the high school monasteries. We're marking off courts, taking, nets, portable nets. Then I make a connection in South Africa. We don't just go in where we don't know people, but we women are good at making connections. So I did that in South Africa. And the only reason I'm in Ghana is because of Paul. He said, you've got to meet my friend, Kwabena. He's the president of Ghana Pickleball. He's the president of, you know, the African Federation Pickleball. That's how I ended up here. And I looked at the players this morning in the session and I said, you all, without pickleball, we would have never met. How special is that? I mean, you can't put a price tag on that. And now I'm bringing 2 players over in May from Africa, South Africa, to live with me for 3 months. We're going to work with them. They'll have multiple coaches in that area. Now, as I'm looking at the people in Ghana, I'm thinking, I already sent a message to my shipyard sister today saying, who wants to host somebody? You know, because I've got to find more room now because the vision is growing. So women know how to do this. We know how to grow visions. I say, have faith in yourself. Jump in. Embrace making mistakes. We all make them. Don't let that get you down. A mistake is simply a data point. A data point is something we all learn from. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Let's get in there and learn together. and do it because we love pickleball. And when we give back to something that's given us so much, the joy is ours for the taking. It's so special.
You know, that's you are so on point with that. In all of the different people that I've had an opportunity to interview with, and my involvement in the sport in general as a, you probably don't realize it, but I'm a mature adult. And and one of the things that happens is pickleball has been fabulous for older men, because older men do not make new relationships nearly as easily as women do. And when I get out, and it doesn't matter where I go in the country, and I'm out at the pickleball courts, there's always a group of women that are, when they're not playing on the courts, they've got a cohesive group. Men don't do that as easily. And so, you know, they're generally approaching it from the pure athletic side of it, or the pure competition side of it. I think women can inspire an awful lot of the overall community in terms of, it is that community and collaboration that is our secret sauce. I mean, you look at any sport that any of us have done. I saw a statistic recently that pickleball has now more participant players than soccer does in the United States. Oh, and people will say to me, well, that's not possible. And I go, well, think about it. Who's playing soccer that's over 20 years of age? How many people? So it's a kids game, really, or through school. And we have this 8 to 80 demographic with 51% of those people are women. And so we've gotta keep that going. I want to mention one other thing and get an opinion from you guys. One of the other characteristics in demographics is the fact that we know that on average, women live 5 years longer than men do. How do we get ladies involved in this, where they're looking at this as, this is my lifetime activity. This is just like playing bridge or being in yoga classes or things. This is just what I do. Any thoughts or ideas on how we can get, you know, our players in and committed forever?
Well, we're seeing women in their 80s playing more regularly now. And I think for them to learn how to play safely so they're not injured is really critical. Sure. And I think that's part of the coaching, is, again, to meet the person where they're at and find out what their skill set and their age group is and their goals, and then tailor it to that. But there definitely has to be something around that, because we don't want to see people getting injured. And that's definitely a possibility. But there are many, many women now. And if you look in the tournaments, signing up in the 80s, I think it's fantastic. I think there's some 90-year-olds.
Yeah. But, you know, what I wanted to add was, when you say that the women live on average 5 years longer, yes, we want to get women in. But those of you who are in a mixed gender marriage, I have to be, you know, I have a wife. But this is important for men. We better keep getting those men. And here's what I think happens, Paul. When men work, that is their identity. Relationships aren't the focus. For women, all our lives, we work, but our peeps, our women friends, that's special stuff. And so we have something that we can teach the guys. Look, guys, you're going to live longer. And wouldn't that be great for those of you who are married to somebody and you could live longer, enjoy life with them? And you've been so busy having identity with work that that's why you see a lot of men, honestly, they retire and die. And so these relationships are important for your mental health, your physical health. So maybe we each can simply encourage each other to do something we've not been accustomed to doing, rather than going, oh, let's get women. Y'all are important. Let's get men. Let's get men, because it's good for your health and you've not been accustomed to having those relationships. And we're going to show you how important it is and how much fun it is. And then men, you guys are going to help us all see how important sports have been to your life. And together, in collaboration, we're all going to win. How special is that?
In addition to that, there's so many people who have found their mate on the pickleball court.
So many
relationships. I hear about it all the time. Oh, yeah, we met playing pickleball.
You know, the key piece that I have loved about pickleball. And I played competitive sports. I was played competitive tennis my entire life. The gap or the difference in skill sets between men and women very often was a bit of a gap. Pickleball is the closest thing that I know of to gender neutrality. And where I am in Surprise, Arizona is a legendary court system. The caliber of women's play that we have in Surprise, Arizona is off the charts. I mean, I tell people I have a friend in town right now from Austin, Texas, and he hears me talk all the time about the caliber of talent, both men and women that we've got, but it adds so much to our community that it's, I mean, very often the gals are saying, no, let's not play mixed. We want to play you two guys, and you better buckle up because they're coming after you. And that, I think, is such a cool, unique component to our sport that I think most or many women who haven't been in the sport would benefit from realizing and hearing from their gal pals that, oh, no, we do this because we really like being able to, whoever it is on the court, three men, one woman, three women, one man, it doesn't matter. We have a gas because we all can really run at each other and have great fun playing. Is that, you guys have to see that. I know where you play and how you guys play. Is the gender neutrality something that we should be emphasizing?
Yes. You know, let me just speak to the global aspect. After apartheid, it was shared with me that the gender still didn't do much mixing with the African people. And so what this is doing, it's bringing genders together in mutual respect. I can't even begin to tell you in South Africa, the men and the women, they mix it up. The women go against the men. We had our first MLP tournament in South Africa in Memel, South Africa, that is the birthplace in South Africa because they had the first dedicated pickleball court. You're going to love this, but it went to a dream breaker because, you know, in that MLB, you don't want it to be 3-1. And so even though we had people refereeing, learning to referee and calling lines, and I'm sitting over there, please go 2-2, please go 2-2. And then it did. And then in dream breaker, they had never played singles before. So you had the men and against the women, and they were learning. It was so exciting. And then I come to Ghana, and the same opportunities are here, where the men and the women are mixing in. I can't tell you what a profound difference that makes on the global stage. And it does in America, too, because as much as we pride ourselves, you know, really welcoming men and women together, we know we're not there yet. We just, you know, we just have to own that. Not making anybody, it's like that data point. We just recognize it. We go, okay, what are we going to do now? Paul, that's what you're asking us. What are we going to do now to change that? So, Jody, what do you think?
Well, I have to say, Paul is absolutely right about Surprise because I'm always invited on with three guys. It's just a unique setting, I think. People drive. I met somebody the other day said she drove an hour to come play at those courts. It's very special and unique. And I think that can spread that concept and that idea. And it's just, again, something that has to kind of take off. But it definitely does exist at Surprise and in a way that I was surprised.
So, well, I'll tell you, in my pickleball journey, when I started traveling the country almost 6 years ago, I traveled for 3.5 years without a home. I was a full-time traveler for 3.5 years. I wanted to go to the best pickleball places I could. The reason I ended up in Arizona was it was the best demonstration of the correct way to do it. And yet I'm amazed. I tell the story about how the racketing system and how people meet and gather, and that it's this open forum that creates magic. And I have had so many people, oh, no, well, we couldn't do that where we are. We can't. And so I think those of us that are really in the center of the swirl, we need to keep talking about there sometimes is a better way to do something. I would rather personally play mixed doubles than I would men's doubles. And goodness knows I'm not a singles player anymore because it is fun. It's energizing. We have a great time together. And there's a hell of a lot of laughing and giggling. And it I'm always looking, I'm a half a glass full person. So I'm always looking at what created success, not, well, why do we have failure and what do we do about it? And so I look at the facilities and the locations around the country that I've been at that contribute to the success of the experience. And that's what I'm always trying to message people. We've been talking about Ghana and Africa a little bit. I'll be leaving later this week for Dubai for the Global Pickleball Conference. And some of the things that are going to be very interesting that I'm really anxious to see, I've never been to the Middle East before, and I know there's issues and challenges in different parts of the Middle East, in women's issues and things like that. Are either of you aware of anything either in Asia or in the Middle East? Because that's really where most of the people that will be at the Dubai conference are coming from. Any thoughts or ideas on what I might see or what I should look for when I'm there in the Middle East?
You know, I don't know really how to answer that, quite honestly, Paul. And the reason is I haven't been right there. You know, when we created the program in Bhutan, who never even knew what pickleball was, we took it there knowing that, of course, you know, Bhutan's up here, India's here, big country, tiny little country that just opened up to the West right before the pandemic, so they had to come back in. But Bhutan's known as the happiest, you know, country in the world. They measure the happiness quotient, the gross happiness quotient. And my friend had been going there for 6 years. And so I contacted her. She doesn't even play pickleball. And I said, I have this vision of the monks flying around in their robes playing pickleball. And so, you know, so we did that. And that was unique because they had on flip-flops. You know, as a coach, we would go nuts if we saw people in flip-flops. Oh, they're going to hurt themselves. They would take off their flip-flops, but we took them shoes. So I wish I could have been there, but I had not been home since Thanksgiving. And my mother's going to turn 100 in March. And she's been calling me every night going, honey, what time is it you're arriving today? And so I know it's time to get to Atlanta. And she calls me in the middle of the night because she can't keep track of that it's later. So I wish I had better for you, but I think my Bhutan experience is not enough to help you where you're going. I wish I was going there.
Well, I do know that there in Israel, I know there's a program in Israel with pickleball. There's very little pickleball in Israel right now, but there's a Palestinian Israeli pickleball club, and they play together. They're very uniquely putting these people together and creating. And when they walk through the doors, everything gets left outside except for the game and the camaraderie.
Bingo.
And whole big video about it, and it was absolutely beautiful. And so that is happening in the Middle East. So I'm not sure where you're going. I think it's possible it could be there too.
And those of us that have been deep in the sport for a long time, those stories, those histories and things are so important. I had a man named Roger Belair on my show a couple of months ago, who's the lead on introducing pickleball into the prison system.
Right.
And it was an amazing interview. But he talks about the fact that gang members, opposing gang members that won't even be seen on the yard together, play pickleball together, and that pickleball has it's growing so fast in the prisons because the wardens want it in there because they've seen a management tool that convicts or prisoners don't want to miss their opportunity to play pickleball. They behave driven by pickleball. And then they're on the pickleball court with people who they otherwise wouldn't generally be seen with, but pickleball becomes that uniter. And those are the kind of things that I find so inspirational.
Are we doing it in the women's too? Is it in the women's prisons?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. So I'm trying to grab, so from the Roger Belair thing, a woman, Pat Angelicchio, in Indianapolis. Yeah, I think she's in Indiana. She began women's pickleball in women's prisons and in Indiana. And she's starting to try and do the same sort of thing and getting exactly the same results. It's all about positives, and it's all about, this has nothing to do with anything other than pickleball. we're here doing this, and there's a joy, and the joyous word always seems to come up in these things, that are, yeah. we are in a joyous environment when it's, when people are simply allowed to do it. So it is exciting. And in the Middle East, so many of the people, I'll be speaking at that conference, and I'm getting the bios and the backgrounds of who all of the people who are going to be there. It's an amazing group of real movers and shakers at the highest orders in the Middle East, in India, China. There are a number of Europeans that are going to be there, and they're all, these are the things that they're interested in being drawn into. You think about a lot of the world, they don't have the sports participation in the over 45 community that we do. Yeah. We think take it naturally in America. I spent a couple of weeks in Europe this summer, having been invited to speak to some of the European pickleball leaders. And one of the things that I realized, and I know my way of knowing, Europe does not have the public park system that we do. They have parks, but you think about it, every town in America has a dormant pickleball or a tennis court, that's where we all started, with just overline it and get it going. Well, they don't have that. Everything in Europe that I could see was a club sport. You know, if you want your kids to play soccer, well, you join the club so that your kids go into that. If they want to be tennis players, there isn't just the park system that was such an instrumental part in my lifetime growing up. And so it's going to be interesting to be talking to people about what their thoughts and ideas are. And and so, you know, I'm really looking forward to the event and getting a chance to see these people.
I don't think they have it in school either. I think that sports programs in schools is very unique to us. And countries, I don't think they have that. So it's definitely
Yeah, Paul, one thing I was going to say back to you and how it unites people. You, kudos to you for not only introducing me to Quibina, but also to Ruth, who I had dinner with while I was in Scottsdale, because she lives there. She said, you've got to meet Sherry. She's doing pickleball in Johannesburg. Well, we connected. She had already been down to see the court in Memel a year ago. But she comes down, brings her three best players, who just the nicest guys in the world. But here's what she's done. She's taken four provinces in Joburg, we call it Johannesburg, that were not speaking. And she used pickleball to get them connected. So it just made me think, when you all were talking about that, again, that's how it happens. And so now I introduced her to Poulet, who I spent 6 hours with the first day I arrived in South Africa. And he's with the Treasury in South Africa, loves pickleball. He's trying to get it through with his cohort in the government to build infrastructure. Think about that. He and Stephen in Memel are best friends. So I connected Poulet and Sherry. They had a coffee last week. Now they've got all these plans going on. And then before I flew to Ghana, I spent 5 hours till midnight having dinner with Poulet, talking about how we're going to spread this in Africa. And I don't even live there. I'm just a conduit. And I'm a conduit because of Paul and my friend Felicity at home, who introduced me to Stephen and Cindy. That's how it goes. And that's all we have to do is listen.
I wanted to add before we forget that Dottie has done something pretty amazing in this country. And she's created the Pickleball Forum for Women on Facebook. That's how I originally found out about Dottie. It's amazing how many people she's connected and how much she's done with that site. It's really incredible. I encourage all women to get on there. And she put on a huge event at Nationals a couple years ago, which was so well attended, so much fun. Everybody loved it. And she created this forum to have everybody connect. And that's what she's doing now in Africa. But she also does that here. And kudos to you, Dottie, for that. And that's, I've met so many people through you and the Pickleball Forum for Women.
You know, it is.
Thank you.
This range of stories and things, it's really one of the reasons that this show was established, was that we could help people who don't live in the swirl, don't live in the middle of the activity, that know all of these unique, interesting stories, that they can find out about them. But I will tell you, the interesting thing that really excites me in this Dubai trip is the fact that they now have a model. So this is a lot of very serious money people. Many of them have the same motives and objectives that we have, but they have resources to do things with because they have the case study that is America, is the United States and is Canada in pickleball. We all grew up with this thing where everything was an organic move and you had to ease it along and get started and do something small and help it grow. But these people can now look at what's happened in the US and the depth of penetration of the sport and these unique characteristics that are pickleball, health and wellness, mental stability, all of the support that pickleball brings to the community. They want to bring it to India, to China, to the Philippines is blowing up with pickleball. Vietnam is insane. Yeah. I was at the conference that Ruth invited me to, actually, when all the global pickleball leaders came to Arizona, and everybody was talking about, oh my God, Vietnam. Vietnam's rocking. Vietnam's rocking. How does that happen? Somebody discovered it and recognized our values. Ladies, before we sign off, I want to just take a moment. I need to do a little commercial for Selkirk TV. The Selkirk TV app is the best app in the sport for finding out about everything from these kind of podcasts to coaching, teaching, instruction. You'll even be able to see some of the pro events live on your phone, and it's a free app. Sign up for Selkirk TV. And I want to ask one other thing of my viewers. If you have a comment, an idea, a suggestion of something that you think we should be covering to help grow the future of pickleball, please download it into the comments. Jody and Dottie, this has been great fun. I greatly appreciate it. I want to give you guys an opportunity to do a quick commercial on the book Empower. Where do they see it? How do they get it? How do they find out more?
Well, you get it on Amazon.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Because I want to say one more thing, if it's okay. Yeah.
Put in Empower Pickleball Stories That Inspire. Empower Pickleball, it'll come up. There it is. And it's reasonably priced. You can get it on the Kindle version, or it's really nice to have the hard copy and read the stories. So that's how you get it.
Very nice. Dottie, you had another thought and an idea.
Yeah, and the reason I want to say it is I'm working on doing things in corporations about leadership for women through pickleball. Jody and I are going to be doing some things with those type of seminars. But also, I just want to show you how it happened. A friend of mine from Canada, who is the CEO of TransLink, you know, big transportation system, retired, on all these boards now. We were in Palm Springs. She says, come to my house for dinner. I'm going to have some people over. Well, she has people there who are the who's who's with women. Out of that, they were doing a leadership conference, which now is going to include pickleball, because they said before dinner, kind of put me on the spot. I thought we were just going to play. Well, it turns out none of them knew how except two people. Give us a short, you know, little mini clinic. So there I go. And, you know, they said you helped us feel so comfortable. So now they're saying you've got to come and be a part of this leadership conference. So women are so capable of leading, Paul, when we're given opportunities. But women, I'm saying, don't wait for everybody to give you an opportunity. Go out there and find the opportunities. And it can be as simple as introducing pickleball to somebody who's never played before, and you don't know what other connections they have. But you do it for the purest of reasons, to help them learn the game.
What a great way to finish this up. Ladies, it has just been absolutely a pleasure having you on the show today. Let's stay in touch, and we'll talk after Dubai and compare notes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the Future of Pickleball. Dottie and Jody, thanks so much for coming.